Well, good morning. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 1. Last time we looked at a prayer from Ezra, and we recall that Ezra came back from the Babylonian captivity along with some others a few years after the first group came back. And now even later we have the book of Nehemiah. This is about 15 years after the book of Ezra ends, almost 100 years after the first captives came back to the promised land, and some 150 years after the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. This would be in 420 to 460 BC, somewhere around there. And after this long time, the walls of the city of Jerusalem were still in rubble. Now, you remember that the story of Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer for the king, and the cupbearer being a very important position, a very desired position, and it was a position that required cheerfulness at all times. And of course, we know that Nehemiah had been inquiring of people who had been back from Judah, and they brought a bad report of Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, and the city was a kind of a mess, and the people were demoralized, and this really bothered Nehemiah. And so what did Nehemiah do when he heard of this national calamity, so to speak? Did he just say, well, too bad, I'm sorry for those guys, but I've got a cushy job here and I can't jeopardize it, so I'm not going to mess around with it? No. God starts to build a desire in him to do something specifically about it. And I think that's a good example for us. When we hear of something nationally, or internationally for that matter, that's a big problem, what do we do about it? We just shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's too bad. Or do we go to the Lord and say, Lord, how would you have me to react to this problem? What would you have me to do? Now, most of the time, I think it would probably be prayer, but that prayer might then lead to some other action. In Nehemiah's case, it would appear that he prayed for some considerable period of time. He was grieved about this. It said, in verse 4 of chapter 1, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days, so maybe months. I was fasting and praying before the Lord of God. And now he repeats this prayer in verses 5 through 11, and it's just a wonderful prayer for us to pay attention to, because I think it's a great example for us to pray. And keep in mind, the context here is praying for kind of a national calamity. This is for his people, for his nation Judah, for the city of Jerusalem that's been destroyed because of their wickedness. The children of Israel were sent, or children of Judah were sent to Babylon for 70 years, and then they came back, and the command was to rebuild the temple. And you know, it got started well, and they did well for a period of time, but after about 2 years, then they stopped the work. Then it got started again when Zerubbabel came back. But here in the meantime, we have Nehemiah hearing about the difficulties that the wall have still not been rebuilt. So he's praying now to whom? Verse 5, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. Is that who you pray to? Do you pray with the idea of our God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a great and awesome God? For he indeed is that. And when we do pray to a great and awesome God, how does that make us feel? Pretty humble, right? Pretty humble. It makes us recognize that he is God and we're not. And so you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you. Yes, he is a covenant-keeping God. He is a merciful God. You observe, keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Now, in verse 6, he repeats part of Solomon's prayer, in a sense, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Notice that. He's praying day and night. How often do you pray day and night? Does something get you moved to the point of where you ever pray day and night? Well, this got him to move to pray for many days, grieve many days, and now he's praying day and night. And what's he praying for? for the children of Israel, your servants, and now notice he goes right into sin, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. This is the same as Daniel's prayer in that he and Moses' prayers too, he includes himself as the sinner. Are your prayers along the lines of, we confess our sins, I confess my sins, or our prayers, Lord, our nation is a terrible, wicked nation. Not me, but they are. I want to pray for them. No, you see, he's praying for us. He's praying for us. I have sinned. My father's house and I have sinned, in verse 6. How have we sinned? Verse 7, we've acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments and statutes nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Now he's going to start to stand on the promises of God in verse 8. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen as a dwelling place. So notice he's standing on his promises that here we have returned to this place. Now hear our prayers. So verse 10, kind of the central part of the prayer. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power. Notice again, he's putting it kind of back into the Lord's hands. These are your people who you have redeemed for your great power and by your strong hand. So we are that, Lord. We're praying as your people. And then the actual petition in verse 11, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. So he's praying on behalf of himself. He's praying on behalf of his country. Prayer of your servant and your servants who desire to fear your name. And again, he's praying for the godly ones, those who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. Now that's kind of an interesting prayer, isn't it? Do you believe in praying for the Lord to prosper you? Well, it's biblical here, but notice, just like Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do for you. There's a very unique aspect to this. It must be in those things pertaining to his will. I wouldn't recommend you pray for prospering for business or whatever in accordance with your will. Lord, I bought a new yoke of oxen, so to speak, or I started a new business. Now bless it. I've got some plans to develop this business. Now bless it. I don't think that's the right prayer. I think that's a good prayer if you add the real caveat there, which is important, if it be your will. But here he says, let your servant prosper this day. And this is in the area of getting the walls rebuilt, something that he knew that the Lord wanted done. So he's asking for the Lord to prosper what he's going to do. So let your servant prosper this day, I pray. And now notice this, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So here included in this prayer is a very personal situation where he, if he's going to go back to Jerusalem and get this wall rebuilt, he's going to have to leave the presence of the king. And typically, as I think I mentioned earlier, if you're a cupbearer, that's a very desired position, and king didn't take that lightly. Normally, if you didn't always look cheerful, they'd chop off your head. So here, what's he going to do? I'm going to go to the king, and I'm going to ask to go to Jerusalem. What will he do? He may just chop off my head. So he's praying to the Lord, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. In other words, grant me mercy, Lord. I'm going to go to the king because I am his cupbearer. But you've stirred me up, and now I'm ready to take action. So that's the prayer. It's a great prayer, a good example prayer when you get stirred up with something. And what do? Do we whine and complain? No. We should be prayerfully asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? So we see Nehemiah, a man of prayer, a man of action, and here he prays when he hears the news and doesn't stop. And later now we're going to see him take action. But remember, the first thing to do is to pray. Father, we thank you for this great prayer here in the Bible. We thank you for the series of prayer in this book of Nehemiah. We'll have three before we're done. And this is the prayer that he made while he was a cupbearer to the king. So, Lord, give us insight and wisdom as we go forth now, and lead us and guide us now in this time of prayer together this morning. And may our prayers be precisely in accordance with your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us pray.